trouble.
Brother Penrose has mentioned about the fear that occurs in the world of mankind, the time of trouble. The text that we're assigned to, it relates not to the world of mankind, but to that of the church. At the time the 2 Timothy was written, the Apostle Paul was writing to those realizing that the churches of Asia had not disbanded, but that they had formed or fallen away from the doctrines of grace. He realized that the apostasy had already set in its first form. And so we find that one of the reasons that this apostasy had set in was because Satan was working, and he uses many devious forms. We realize that one of these is the use of man himself to put fear in the hearts of men. For instance, man in his noble precepts, so as they be, will use the scriptures, "Now is the acceptable time. Prepare to meet thy God." These put fear in the hearts of men, driving them back into the churches, if so be they can do so. And then he uses this spirit of fear when he threatens them with the God-dishonoring doctrine of hellfire and eternal torment. One of the first lessons that we learn coming to God is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this, we've learned, is not in the ordinary sense, but it's a true reverence for God. That reverence which is only to those who have faith in His Word and His promises. Those who come to Him in this attitude of heart and mind have lost the fear and the misrepresentation that has been made of God and His divine character and plan. And so we find that in this text of 2 Timothy 1, we find that Paul is speaking to those of the brethren. And going back, he says in the sixth verse, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." That gift of God, which was the Holy Spirit, that enlightened their minds to understand something concerning God's wonderful plan for man. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And writing to Timothy, the prominent feature of this letter was his apparent concern for the church's departure from the truth. In the 13th verse, Paul continues by saying, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard in me." Hold fast. "In faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." And then in the 15th verse he says, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." And then he goes on to say, in the 2nd chapter, in the 17th verse, "And their words doth eat as a canker." This word canker, you look that up, and it means as gangrene. And we know how gangrene works in the natural body. It begins with a little source, and finally it can eat away. And as it eats away, he says that those devious ones are eating away at the word of truth. But then, in the 3rd chapter, in the 8th verse, he goes on to say, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth." And so Paul is admonishing these brethren to be strong in the faith and have not this spirit of fear which these have endeavored to inculcate in their minds. In the 4th chapter, in the 3rd verse, he says, "And they shall, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fable. Yes, these individuals had departed from the truth, if indeed they ever had the truth. And they were endeavoring to draw others away after them. And the Apostle Paul recognized that this was a very, very great possibility. In fact, in the Church of Corinth, this had occurred to a great degree. In 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and in the 11th verse, the Apostle says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, saith the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world," that spirit of fear, "but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Yes, Paul is saying that we should not have a division among the churches. He says also that this spirit would divide. Divide and conquer? Yes, this must not be. In our text, this word spirit, definition of the word spirit, is the word, according to my Thayer lexicon, says that it's the disposition or influence which fills and governs the soul of anyone. Strong's uses the word, it's the mental disposition. So we're not to have this mental disposition or this spirit of fear. Another definition of the word fear is timid, lack of confidence, and lack of decision. And so Paul is thus saying that our mental disposition, our attitude, should be of courage and standing for the truth. Jude, writing, says that we should contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Why? For he says there were certain men who crept in unaware, denying the only Lord and our Lord Jesus. Paul, therefore, exhorts in this 2 Timothy, in the first chapter, in the 8th verse, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and has called us with holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus." Partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And there are several. You know, the Apostle Paul had many afflictions because of his stand for the truth and for the gospel. In 2 Corinthians, he tells us that he had all of these troubles. We have trouble. But in the 2 Corinthians 11:24, he says, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I stripes, 40 save one, because of the gospel. Thrice was I beaten with rod, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, night and a day in the deep," and all these other things. But then he says, "Beside all these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches." Yes, Paul was one who had no fear. The spirit of fear, the disposition of fear. There were some, however, back there for were fear of being cast out of the synagogue because of the truth, because of the gospel. We realize that there were those who, remember the man that had been born blind, his parents were fearful that they would be cast out of the synagogue because the Pharisees had asked, "Who said that this man was born blind?" For fear that they would be cast out. They said, "We don't know." They did know. But these were but light afflictions. But knowing this, that they needed strength and courage to overcome these trials. It's even as our Lord told them while they were in the upper room. In John, the 15th chapter, in the 26th verse, we read, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me." This Comforter that was to be sent, and he said that he shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And these things I have spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. But these are but light afflictions. Paul says they are but for a moment, and they work out for us exceeding eternal weight of glory. And for this reason, Paul says, "I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not compared to be to the glory that shall be revealed in us." Yes, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This mental disposition, this lack of fear. And so, as we think of these things, let us remember the promise, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life, because the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it."